You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Not bad, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. This drink is horrible.
It is. That's why I've let you have it.
Yeah, this is a horrible way to spend my Sunday afternoon. This drink is foul. You could have warned me.
I did.
Could have warned me harder.
You also didn't have to mix it with red cola.
It's Bar's Red Cola. It's possibly the best soft drink I had available.
But it's not overcome the rum.
It hasn't. It's a dark rum, and usually I'm a fan of rum, but this is... Let's go in for another dip. Yeah, it's bad. The aftertaste is like petrol.
Well,
speaking of petrol, we're all fueled and fired up because we've just finished yet another play of the campaign for North Africa. Not the full game.
No,
for clarity.
That's insane.
Yeah, we had a longer time available today. We've been playing on a weekend.
Yeah, we had 5 hours?
Yeah, around about a nice solid 5 hour stretch without interruption. And we're recording and it's still light outside.
And what podcast are we recording?
We are recording War with a Mate.
There we go.
And I'm James.
And I'm Andy.
Yeah. Sorry, the very overpowering dark room really got away from me there. That's pulled my mind away from the activity at hand. So yes, we are James and Andy of War with a Mate. We're playing the campaign for North Africa, the whole thing. We're happy to say we've just wrapped up Operation Stage 1 of Turn 2.
Yeah, we got one little thing left to do because we did some stuff wrong in the past, but for all intents and purposes, Stage 1, done.
We need to finish the towing stuff. We need to do our repair stuff.
Yes,
because we
got that wrong. Thankfully, a fan corrected us, so thank you for that. And then, so we're going to go through and do it properly as if we'd been doing it right from the start.
Yes, we're going to retroactively fit all that into the repair section, so we may well have some extra bits and pieces. I definitely will, because Tobruk is my repair facility, and a lot of stuff broke down near Tobruk. So I'm going to be sitting pretty, going to have more resources to hand, some tanks, some trucks. That's pretty much it. But tanks and trucks, they're good. Tanks for killing, trucks for feeding.
Which is somehow more important than the tanks.
Yeah, it really is. So we started off today with the naval bombardment on my guys.
Yes.
You bombarded two airfields.
I destroyed one.
You did. You took one out. Wasn't best pleased about that because I had planes there. So now they have no way to fly. So the SGSUs are going to have to wander them through the deserts and probably go to the airfield that is just north that you tried to destroy with your second bombardment.
Yes, which had more, but just dice weren't having it.
Yeah, you fucked it. You fucked it. But that's fine. I now have an airfield that I can delegate these men to go to, and they can get there next turn.
Yeah. We've not moved any SGSUs yet, so
no.
We'll have to have a look at that.
Come to think of it, why didn't I move them in my movement phase?
Good question.
I was really hoping you'd have an answer.
No.
Right. Okay. Well, I should have done that. Well,
I'm just going to put an assumption in that if they've flown, you can't also...
Oh, of course, they return to base.
Towards the end of the air stage.
Yeah. I'll have to double check what order that happens in because they might not have been available to move. They're just going to try and get back and they'll be like, where the fuck's the airstrip gone?
Oh, they'll definitely be back, but also if you're doing repairs and stuff... Like, that SGSU was busy all turn for the stuff it can do.
No, they're a bunch of lazy layabouts.
I mean,
these SGSUs in particular.
Oh, okay, you got a bad one.
Yeah, they're bad ones. I actually would have rather you kill them than any of the others. They're bad guys. Lazy. Poor work ethic. We resolved that. We resolved the bombing. And then I got to go with my movement.
You did.
And I had a lot of fun with that.
Yes, because you've made a discovery. Is it a discovery?
It is, because it's new for me. I found that I have about another 4 divisions that I've not been using. So I've been looking at some of the guys, the way that we stack our tiles, because of our revolutionary magnetized picture frame system. We can't stack more than 3 pieces on top of each other when we put the board away, so we have to scatter them around the board and then put a sticky note under them so we know if there's a bunch in one hex, who is assigned to it. And because of that, I've just kind of glanced over some of the guys when I've been looking at the map or when I've been updating like stock and stuff and stores, food. I've not really processed the fact that there's huge numbers in these garrisons, is what I thought they were. They're not garrisons. I've got divisions. I've got full divisions that I've just left. So I've got about 4 of them that I've only started moving this turn. Because they've been in major cities, they've just been taking supplies from there. So their trucks are full to the brim of ammunition, stores, water. So they're ready to go off. So today I decided I'm going to do just that. So I sent them off along the northern road, well, the gap between the northern roads, over towards you. They're heading east.
They're heading towards the 4th.
Yes, 3 divisions are heading along that road.
Yes, against 1 division. So that's going to be a... we'll see how that goes for me.
Yeah, just running the numbers there. 3's more than 1.
It is. It's...
It's 3 more than 1.
It's a lot. No, it's triple the amount. I get what you go for, but that's too elementary a mistake to let you get away.
No, it's 3 more. It's 3 more.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 3 times 1.
Are you going to use that to just summon another division?
Apparently that's what I do. I just look through the sheets and they just keep on manifesting. I could have done some disgusting stuff to the 7th if I knew that they were around.
Yeah, it's very much changed the like momentum, the sort of landscape of it, because you can't go on the offensive much more than you have been.
And also still hold the front line.
Yeah. Well, it seems like if you move across, the 7th are going to be a bit isolated.
I mean, yeah, they are, because now I'm along that road. I mean, next movement turn, I'll be able to get onto the road.
Well, I've got some guys stopping you.
I'll be on the road. What I need to do is get past them.
My guy's at the end of the road. You have to...
At the end of the road?
Yeah.
Or Cairo?
No, at the other end. City Barani.
That's not too bad of a problem. I can get through them.
Okay.
I'll mow them down. I mean, you've got, what, like 1 division?
Yeah.
So, you're going to be overrun.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
These divisions are huge, by the way.
Yeah. This feels like, you know, the actual offensive.
Yeah. At first I was like, how did he do this? How did he push? And then when I found these spare divisions, yeah, that's probably how he did it.
Because you have 250,000 men and I have 30,000. But if 200,000 of them stay in a city, it becomes quite even.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to push forward. I'm going to do some real damage. It's vengeance, really, for what you did with my trucks last time.
That's good.
And this time, I chased you down, some of these truck bandits.
Yes, they, the Northumberland Fusiliers, they'd got a convoy and destroyed an SGSU last time.
Yes.
You sent the Moretti Division?
Yeah, after the trucks.
Yeah.
It was the Black Shirts, Black Shirts.
Yeah. So, I ran. I took a big hit to cohesion.
Yes, you really broke off, because I got there, I instigated combat, you were pinned by my bombardment, which meant you couldn't engage in close assault, so you were forced to retreat.
Yeah.
You legged it up the road, really made a good sprint for it, at the cost of, yeah, as you say, cohesion. And you didn't, did you break down at all?
Yeah, I got 10%.
10%, yeah.
So you, which, for the distance I'd gone, and the hot weather, was lucky. I rolled an 11.
Yes.
Not 11. Not, that was something else. But I rolled low enough that I didn't lose too much, because yes, I could have lost 50%.
Yeah, which, you know, either way, they're my trucks and I'm going to get them back. So yeah, bear that in mind.
Yeah.
I will be reclaiming them as my own, and you're going to be so sorry that you did that.
Yeah, but it's an interesting... because you're now pushing forwards, but there's the 7th are on the front line at the minute, but when it shifts, and then these two guys are going to be... operating behind enemy lines for a long time.
Not as long as you think, because you also had a little peek at what's going on map B, and I do have a lot of motorized, mechanized guns ready to pop over the border to map C, and when they're there, you only have, it's like one infantry or something
it's
in
like
this group.
Free toe or something.
So, yeah, all I need to do is pop off a few lucky shots, pin you, and then just let the black shirts wander on up. Yeah. At which point, I get my trucks back.
Although, to be fair, if they delay you for, like, an op stage or two, they've sort of done their job.
I've got plenty of spare divisions, I found out, so I can spare the black shirts.
Okay.
I can spare the black shirts and get rid of, uproot this... this issue behind my lines. I want to get rid of your guys who are darting around with my trucks and my shit. Got my shit. Give them back.
No.
I implore you. I'll actually spare your men if you give them back.
Well, if you get them, they'll surrender, so you have to.
That's a good point. You actually have some prisoners of mine.
Yeah.
You're just keeping them there.
They're slowly making their way back. I've been moving them.
You have to show me where they are on the map, because I might go fetch them.
Oh, yeah, I will. Because we haven't magnetized them because they're double-sided. So we've been... Yeah.
Doing them as and when.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try and get them back, I think.
Get the prisoners?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I take them back, get some replacement points.
You're welcome to try.
I'm not really welcome to try. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fucking do it.
I mean, I recognize the pluck. I just don't think it's going to work out that way.
Don't comment on my pluck.
Well.
My pluck is none of your business. Plucking hell. How many pluck puns do you reckon I can fit into this?
I think that was enough.
Yeah, no, I know it's enough. I know it's going to be going too far, but how many do you think?
You could wedge in quite a few.
15.
15's too many, man.
It's all going to be the same thing. I'm just going to be replacing the word fuck with pluck.
Yeah.
In various different forms.
I'm counting that as one.
Oh, right, okay. It's going to become too difficult. I'll think of something for next week, don't worry.
Okay.
It'll be my common ground. So, back on topic.
Yep.
The movement also resulted in another skirmish with the 4th Black Shirts.
Yeah, I guess the lack of movement in that case, because they're just... there, engaged with each other.
Yes, on the back of the very protracted battle that we had last week where nothing happened and it was just a net zero outcome. This time, I was forced to fight because I can't really move away. I don't have the capability allowance in order to do so, which meant that I instead fought you. And upon fighting you, we ended up with a result of 10% losses on both sides.
Yes.
Which is interesting because I actually committed less resource to this than last time. There was a bigger differential.
Yeah, so did I guess, because I have some guys who are better close defense than assault.
Oh, yes.
So
yeah.
I was bumped up.
So you ended up with a... 7. 7 actual points, I had 4.
Yeah.
And I also didn't get the morale boost this time, didn't get lucky.
Yeah. It was -4 on the table?
-5.
5 on the table, yeah, so...
So big swing, but we both lost 10%, and I didn't really commit as much as I could have. I didn't commit... Oh, I committed one gun because you successfully pinned one of my infantry.
Yes.
And it also resulted in you wiping out a battalion.
Yes.
That 10% made up of a battalion. What was left of them anyway? You took off a toe point last time as well. So I've ended up shy on numbers. I've lost a whole battalion from the Black Shirts. But we're still locked in place. We're still engaged, I believe. Oh, no, I think engaged ends.
It ends.
Yes, so we're no longer engaged.
But I guess engagement is off. I don't know. I'm weighing up whether to break off from them or...
Well, the thing is, yeah, you've got a lot going on along that northern road, so do you really want to stick around trying to fight the 4th Black Shirts while the rest of my divisions move that wall further east?
Yeah, I think it's... them being pinned is worse for me than... Not pinned as in the status, but like...
Being locked in place.
Yeah, is worse for me than you, on account of I've got 2 divisions in the area, you've got 8.
Yes,
so I need my divisions to not... They need to be accounting for 4 divisions apiece.
Yeah, they really need to get busy. Right now, they're just fighting along with the 4th and losing equal amounts in each combat, which is not great. So that's going to... the battle at Fort Maddalena is continuing in the form of the 4th Black Shirts versus the 7th Armored Division.
Yeah, it sort of spilled out a bit.
Yeah, pushing east, though.
Yeah, I was a bit worried you were going to move those other 2 divisions from Fort Maddalena up to the 4th, so you had 3 on 1.
I did consider that. That was, I crossed my mind, but My concern is I don't want to be pushing the wall too far east too quickly, because if your 7th Armoured could then slip through, I'm going to be chasing them, and you could go for the likes of Bardia or Tobruk.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to risk that. I'd rather keep them a bit further afield, so then you're going to have a harder time supplying those guys, especially when I get my trucks back.
Also, I guess the fact you don't have the trucks, you kind of, I don't know exactly your situation, but I'm guessing there's a certain amount of choice between keeping that north bit nice and supplied, or that southern detachment.
Yes, I want to try and keep that wall as north as possible. Speaking of south, the Saharan detachment.
Yeah, they moved up a bit. They're slowly creeping across the bottom of the map.
They are, from oasis to oasis.
Little stinkers.
Slinking along. They're sitting pretty with resources. So they're not going to be taxed too badly. Breakdown's been fine for them because I've been moving them very slowly along.
Yeah.
And I'm aware that I do have to move them through I think it's a salt marsh here. So I'm going to have to figure that one out, see how far I want to push them.
I think you'll have to go around it.
I think, yeah, because of the vehicles I've got. I've got more than just light. So I'll get them moving, though. They are going to continue moving along, and that'll be my southern advance.
I think I've got a plan for them.
You got a plan for them?
Yeah.
Is it move all the way down to the south of the map to try and tackle them?
Nope.
Then you don't really have a plan.
I absolutely do.
You can try and strafe them. Well, you don't have many aircraft, because we both ruled completely dog shit on the refitting of our planes.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
I mean, mine were mainly in the sort of 40 to 60 range, whereas last turn I was just rolling like 80 or 100, and I was like, wow, this plane refitting's, I guess it's a formality. Nope.
No, it's not. It's a very important thing, and it's, yeah, for some reason we've both ruled very lucky previously with our refits, and I haven't this time. And you've also taken out another SGSU, so that's now, I think, two individual airfields, airstrips without SGSUs, and Magdalena is completely empty,
yep.
Devoid of SGSUs.
And then I got, one of those truck guys got as well.
Yes, so that's quite a few down.
I have been trying to nip away at your air superiority.
It's working. I've got more planes, though.
Yeah.
So they've just shown up. So I've got them noted down. That's another whole squadron.
Although I do have two squadrons of, because I got 30 Bellheim bombers.
Yeah.
So I do have two full squadrons of bombers.
And I'm not looking forward to seeing them pop up.
Yeah, because I've been up to this point keeping my bombers in basically one group.
Yes, you've been doing very very singular strikes.
Yeah, so maybe looking at spreading that, or just keep the sort of singular rolling thunder going.
Well, either way, I'm going to get my planes back in the air. Everything will be fine. I'm not worried. And on the ground, I'm definitely not worried. Not with all these divisions I've got. I've got divisions for days. Going to move them along, going to really cause some trouble over at the likes of Mercer Matru. That's what I want. I want Mercer Matru.
That's the big one. That is the, I think that's your mid objective.
Yes. So I'm going to wander over there and I'm going to take it.
That's interesting.
I mean, it's happening.
We'll see.
I'm on the road now.
You're not on the road yet.
I'm on the unfinished part
really
of the road.
You're really thinking like two op stages ahead in
I'm
terms
thinking
of this road.
An op stage ahead. No. It's the next op stage. You've chosen, that's another thing we should mention. We've done initiative. We've determined that you will be going first. That's what you've decided.
Yep.
So next op stage, you'll be going first. We also ruled the weather. And
normal.
We're pleased to say it's normal. We've got normal weather. So that's good.
I would have loved a rainstorm or a sandstorm.
What on your hexes?
Yeah, sure.
Why would that be good
for you?
Some
variants.
We've just had variants. We just had hot weather and it was horrible.
Yeah.
I was a ball of anxiety moving my truck convoy around because I thought they were all going to break down. And I did lose 50% of one of the convoys.
Yeah, your trucks are taking a beating on breakdowns.
Well, one of them lost, I think it was 25% or something in Tobruk.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that's where my repair facility is.
Oh, so they'll just be repaired in this repair stage.
Yes. So I've got four trucks that need repairing there. And then I lost 50% of my trucks that dropped off some supplies to the, I think it's the 2nd Libyan Division. So they will need to be looked at. They did get there, thankfully. They arrived on the Hex, so they have resupplied the guys. But yeah, I'm going to have to get them marched back up to the facility as well. I need to get more trucks because you've taken quite a few. I've so many broken down in the middle of the fucking desert. So I need to pull that back together. I need to make a coherent convoy structure.
Yeah.
One thing that I am relieved about is that my convoy's just arrived from Tripoli. Those guys have just rocked up. A lot of trucks, about 35, I think it is. Yeah. And they are full to the brim of all sorts of goodies.
Which is, were they when we were, we're still doing them even?
Yes, that's when we started the game. I've set them out, so they don't have the best ratio of supplies. Yeah. They've got far too much fuel.
Yeah, they're very generous with fuel.
I didn't know how valuable fuel was going to be, and turns out not very valuable. I've never had fuel as an issue.
Weirdly, I feel fuel is the least important. Then weirdly for the desert, it's water. Not as important, but as in difficulty of managing it.
Yes.
And then stores and ammo are they're a bit hardest. They're definitely the hardest.
Because ammo's the hardest to move around in terms of the quantity that each truck can move.
And the amount you use.
Yeah, a medium truck can carry 4 ammo points, and that's enough for a single tow point of barrage.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I do need to make sure I sort out the stores, because my guys are... They're hungry. Feeding frenzy is what we need.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're going to start eating each other.
It's bad.
That's in the rules.
It's definitely not.
It is. You haven't read all the rules, clearly. We keep on finding new rules, Andy. You've not read the cannibalism section. It's in the logistics and air rules.
I'll have to look at that, because I love a bit of cannibalism.
You do. There is a bit of an ongoing bit that we have that you do that want have, to eat that people.
That I'm battling Wendigo sickness.
Oh, you are a Wendigo of yourself. You really are.
It's one of the better mythical creatures. It's not. It's very bad. But
one of the better mythical creatures.
I like
better
it.
In what sense?
Like cool.
I think like morality.
Definitely. Definitely not.
It's an uncontrollable hunger. The Wendigo doesn't do it for fun.
No, he does. He corrupts people and makes them cannibals for fun.
Oh, right. Sorry, I didn't realize it was a pleasure thing.
Yeah, it's part of it.
Ah, I thought it was just his name. I thought it was like more of an animalistic, like primal thing. I didn't realize he was doing stuff for fun.
I think it's primal, but he also enjoys it.
Like orcas when they kill their trainers.
Yes. Then get moved around.
Oh, yeah. What was the name of that orca that kept on relocating and went into like witness protection, essentially?
Well, it had like 4 names because they kept changing its name on the paperwork and sending it to a different sea world.
As if that's going to stop it from killing again. Yeah. We're giving you a new identity. You've been absolved of all former crimes.
Just let him go.
And for some reason, they didn't just get another orca. They kept the one that kills people.
Well, they're probably pretty hard to catch.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be catching them at all.
I mean, absolutely.
I guess that's sort of the underlying
Leave
issue.
Leave them alone.
Stop capturing orcas. They're going to kill you. I don't think I would want to be around an orca. No. Especially not in the water.
I mean, on land, it's just sad. It's a different kind of bad if you're just looking at a beached orca.
I feel like they could still do some damage to me, though. I feel like I'd get too cocky and get up close.
Oh, well, beached whales explode.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
One last little fuck you to the land.
Yeah, it's quite fun that they have a self-destruct mechanism.
Yeah.
I'm on the land. I'm going to have to explode. If only people could do that in water.
That would be bad.
I guess we do it in space.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of explode a little bit in space.
Well, space explodes everyone. It's like land plus.
Land premium. Well, that's it's not really related to the game, is it?
I guess, no, not at all. I guess we finished an episode to just check in on how we feel about the game still.
Today, it's been a nice change of pace. We started earlier in the day. I felt like my mind was much more focused. I didn't come after a day of work.
Yeah.
So I felt very dialed into the game. Felt like I knew what I was doing. Felt like my tactical decisions were a bit more in tune with what I need. And I feel like with the divisions manifesting from seemingly nowhere, I feel thousands of times more confident than I did earlier.
Yeah, this has been not a great upstage for me. It was going well until your movement.
Yes, as soon as I went, oh, I have more divisions, by the way, and then just started marching them along the north. That's going to be bad for you.
Because just the fact they exist changes everything I've been doing.
Yeah, I've essentially just went, oh, by the way, I've got double the things that you thought I had.
I guess we can look at the things. I could have worked it out, but I was just sort of going off what you were saying because we're not looking at each other's stuff.
Well, yeah, I don't often wander over your side of the board, so I don't actually know how many divisions you have. I'm essentially, in my mind, all you have is the 7th Armored Division and the 4th Indian, and that's all of your men.
There's loads of other divisions, so...
You said that with all the confidence of a man who's not confident.
No. I've got battalions coming in. Oh. They're not going to help.
Ooh, yeah. Not a battalion. I just lost a battalion, and it was nothing to me.
I mean, that's an issue for you.
Well, you know, it's fake. It's all a game, Andy. They're not real people.
But I do have reinforcements coming fairly soon.
Fairly soon? I was saying fairly soon.
I think upstage 3.
Oh, that's not going to... You're not going to get there.
Oh, you're going to win in the next upstage.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have Mercer Matru in the next 2 upstages.
That's fucking mental.
It's going to happen.
That's insane.
I'm going to have it. By the end of turn 3, I will have Mercer Matru.
I like how we've talked about this war and the mistakes both Graziani and Rommel have made is overextending themselves.
I'm not overextending. I've doubled my force, and I'm sending the extra double that I found, the other side of it, I'm sending them to Mercer Matru.
I guess they're 3 units in your head.
Yeah, I've been playing the game with half my... I've been playing with one hand tied behind my back. Now that hand is going to start punching while the other hand holds you off at arm's length.
Ooh, my reinforcement situation is not as good as I thought.
This has been a real turning point for you.
I've got 2 tank regiments coming in and 2 artillery regiments this turn.
That's not gonna do a whole lot for you.
Yeah.
One of my divisions is a tank division.
Oh, good. Is it infantry supported properly?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. So it's not the issue I'm because having
there's,
with the 7th.
Because there's 2 other divisions.
Yes.
So there's plenty of men to go around.
Well, they have to be on the same hex, and you they might are. Not be able to stack them.
I can. They're the ones that are stacked with the 2
Oh,
and
so
3.
They're not full 5 stacks?
No. But the size of them is comparable to other divisions.
Oh, okay.
They are huge. And one of them doesn't have the little stripe on them, but I think they should. I do actually need to check, make sure all of the pieces are correct, because some of them don't have the stripe to indicate HQs.
Yes.
So I need to have a look at them, make sure I've got the right units down. Because that was something we looked at the very start of the game. It means I might actually have to go back through the tray.
The counter addenda and... you've not been in the tray yet, have you?
No, not since we started. I got everything out that I needed. The poor box today had a bit of a casualty. The campaign for North Africa game box.
I misjudged the size of my ass and sat on the corner of the box.
Yeah, a spatial awareness issue occurred and you slut dropped on the box.
Yep.
Splitting it down the side because it's a fragile box. The thing is 50 years old.
Yeah.
And it just couldn't handle the weight.
It's not built for it.
It's not built to be sat on, would you believe it? Another crazy thing we saw, game related, tangentially, I suppose, on eBay, because we occasionally check in and see what the game's going for these days and see if there's been a big spike or if lots of them are selling. Maybe we'll get ourselves a second version just in case. And one of them selling for £255, which is significantly less than what ours cost. So I'm interested to see if that sells. I think the bid's up in a few hours. If you're listening to this, it's probably already over. But I'm interested to see how that ends up, because, I mean, it's in like pristine condition by the looks of it.
Someone's going to flip it.
Someone's definitely going to flip it. We should buy it and flip it.
If only we had the capital.
Yeah, we have no capital. We have no budget. The budget was spent at the start when we got the game and the microphones.
Yeah.
But that's all we need. All we need is what we have. And what we have is a jolly good time and another upstage down.
Yeah. Do you have a... You're just continuing... Yeah, I mean, you're saying you just go for Mercer Matru.
Well, I'm pushing east.
Okay.
Whether or not Mercer Matru is going to be the destination, I'm not sure yet. But east is definitely the way I'm going. I'm going to get on that road. And at the very least, what I can do is stop your supplies completely and starve the 7th out.
Yeah, I mean, the scary thing about that road is it's been just how easy it's been me getting stuff to the front and doing convoys.
Yes.
Also means if you get a foothold on it, I'm in a lot of trouble.
Well, all I realistically need to do is get sort of 10 hexes along from the start of the road on the west end.
Yeah.
And then you have 10 pieces of road you can't use for your trucks.
Yeah.
So that means your breakdown value shoots up and your supply line is fractured.
Yeah. Well, it kind of is at the minute, anyway. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with the 7th.
It's starting to come together, my little plan.
Yeah.
And having double the amount of men I thought I had has really changed the game for me.
Does help.
I feel like I could have been doing a lot more from the start of the game.
Honestly, it explains why you didn't do what I thought you were going to do, because you've been quite defensive so far.
Yes.
Even though it's Graziani's offensive. I thought you were just doing a tactic, but if you had significantly less men than you thought you did.
Yeah, it wasn't a play, wasn't a tactic, it was unfortunately me working off, I was going to say faulty information. I didn't look at my men properly. Which is, you know what, the thing is, I've been ticking off their food, I've been ticking off their water, I've been making sure they're supplied. I think part of it, though, is because they're in a city, I haven't been analysing their sheets as much. I've just been making sure there's supplies in the city for them, and then taking that off the supplies in the city.
Yeah.
So I've not been going through them as granularly. So then they've just kind of went over my head.
Yeah.
And it's insane because they're huge.
Yeah. It also explains the thing of when we talked to the Echoes of War guys, they were like, oh, Graziani didn't group everyone up and send them. He, like, divvied and, like, potentially lost him. Maybe he was doing the same thing.
Yeah, maybe I was going to say maybe I am Graziani. I don't want to make that comparison.
No.
Maybe I am making a similar mistake.
Yes.
We'll find out. We'll find out. But that's been a lot of fun today. I feel more confident. I feel bolstered in my position. What I don't feel is this rum. It's not great. It's very bad. I feel like, if anything, I've wasted red cola on it.
You keep sipping it like it's going to be different, though.
That is bad. As a beverage, it's unpleasant to have.
So something more pleasant.
Yeah, you got a surprise for me.
Listener mail?
Oh, yeah, I suppose, yeah. That's not a surprise. It's quite scheduled. It's what we usually do. I thought it was going to be a surprise, like maybe you were going to promise not to do that extension cable thing that I walked into today.
I mean, I had to.
You didn't I walked in today and you had an extension cable plugged into another extension cable. And when I quizzed you on why you decided to create this death trap, you said it was so you could bring electricity into the bathroom.
At the Hoover.
That's not where electricity should be. Get a cordless Hoover. Do not bring your wired Hoover and extension cable plugged into an extension cable into the room full of water.
I'm not buying an expensive... Buying a Hoover is a horrible purchase.
It is, I agree.
I'm not spending more money than I have to on it.
But please stop putting your life in risk. Also, the board game's here. If you burn down the flat, then there's no way for us to play the game, because it's gone. Unless we manage to snipe a bid on this game that's going for sale now.
I'm not going to be able to afford if the house burns down, because I need to move.
That's a good point, yeah. You're going to have to, at that point, relocate. Probably set up shop somewhere else. But we still have to record every week. We'll just have to pretend we're playing the game. We'll just have to do it all in our heads.
Yes.
And that's somehow even worse. I think it's the only way to make this game more complicated.
To do it all fear of the mind.
I think that's how we should play it on the second run.
Just in our heads.
Yeah, we'll be experts by then.
Yeah, that way we can just be, you know, out at the pub and it'll be moving to this hex.
Well, to Brook is hex C4807. Bardia is 4321.
Oh, cool. Only another 3,000 or 4,000 hexes.
Well, they're the important ones. I don't need to worry about some random fucking salt marsh in the middle of the map.
One of them just stopped you doing what you wanted.
That was in the south of the map, though, not in the middle of the map.
I feel my point stands.
You know, you have to be precise with this, Andy. It's a very precise game.
Okay.
Having said that, I did find a typo in the rules today. The word such had a V in the middle of it.
I'll let them off with that.
Suvk. Well, I can't really do anything about it, can I? But what we can do is, yeah, we'll touch into the listener mail. And today we have a double whammy from the same person.
Yes.
So both will be, it's a special brought to you...
By Jeff.
Jeff is the one who's double whammy to you. Send over to Jeff, and they've come through back-to-back, so we're going to read them out back-to-back. Andy, do you want to take the first one?
Yeah. Greetings, Andy and James, another listener from across the pond who learned of this podcast via Reddit, technically a friend who learned from Reddit, and just finished episode 35. I've been a casual Hex Encounter wargamer for many years, and I ironically started in the North African theatre, albeit in a much, much more simplistic game. It was a game called Africa Corps by Avalon Hill, and it would not surprise me if it turned out that the entire process of learning and playing that game once took less time than you spent acquiring and mounting magnets to make the campaign from North Africa even playable. Recently, my son and I visited a museum dedicated to the American 1st Infantry Division, and as they were involved in the landings in Algeria in November 1942, thought you might be interested in the attached photos from that portion of the museum, as this portion of the theatre of operations is off the map of your game. Hopefully none of this will give James undue advantage once the game begins. In any case, looking forward to seeing the action at Fort Maddalena come to a head, and stay subtle, humble and brave.
Well, so, Jeff, I suppose you will have some answers by now if you've caught up, which I think your other email suggests you have, because Fort Maddalena has resolved in a sense. It's pushed a little further
it's
east.
It's spilled out.
It has.
Yeah, it's come to a head and then not resolved.
So it's an ongoing saga. Yeah. So when you listen now, you'll know that there's still plenty to go for Fort Maddalena.
But the pictures were pretty interesting. One of them is a map they gave to GIs.
Yes. Yeah, I've got the pictures here. I guess, we can pop these on for the post this week.
I'd like some of the instructions on the side of the map are pretty good. One of them, keep yourself constantly oriented and connect your experience with places, which feels like both advice for war and life.
Yeah, it feels like it's a way to keep anchored in reality. Yeah.
And also another bit of it, do not mark this map. It is not intended to help the Hun. And the other one is a German, by the looks of it, a newspaper clipping.
Africa Post it is, yeah.
Yeah, with a map of the movement of both the American and British troops.
Yes, that's interesting. It seems to, it shows essentially the northern road and the advance that you're trying to make over towards me.
Yeah.
You can actually break down the game quite clearly. In fact, you can see Tobruk on there.
Yeah, it's got Tobruk and
Tobruk, Derna.
Arrow coming from Alexandria all the way across, which hopefully I'll do in the main game.
I don't know why I'm always continuously shocked when I see anything in real life that relates to North Africa. And I'm like, oh, it's just like the game. It's like, well, yeah, James, it's just the real world.
A region of the world.
it's just the game map.
Like 100 million people live in.
Yeah, it's not some niche reference to some pop culture that's in a fantasy world. It's just Africa.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, but I get giddy. I get excited, probably because I didn't know anything about the North African campaign prior to playing this. But the pictures are really cool. And what a nice wholesome trip going off with your son to see a museum. I like a good museum trip. I haven't been in a while.
Yeah, we should do a museum trip. We should find one that's relevant.
Let's record an episode in a museum.
Let's see how long we can go before getting kicked out.
Yeah, I don't know that will last very long at all.
I don't know if we'd finish setting up.
Yeah.
Walking into a museum with 5 meter by 60 centimeter.
Oh, we're playing the game as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's going
to
make it look
harder. We'd record directly after playing, so we'd have to.
People might think it's some sort of like art project, though.
Just see if we can install the maps in a museum.
No, we need those. We can't do that. It's too costly. But yeah, Africa Corps sounds like it's very much in the same theatre.
Yeah.
It's all North Africa, but it sounds like it's very much a starter game compared to this. If you want to be a real gamer, this is what you do.
Well, I do find the fact he's a casual Hex Encounter war game. It doesn't seem like you can casually play Hex Encounter. Like, you're casual relative to other Hex Encounter. But by the time you've got there, you're, like, at the far end of board games.
Oh, yeah. And to stress to you, Jeff, you're a much more experienced Hex Encounter player than we are. You're definitely much more professional than we are. We're more casual than you because this is our first foray, and I think it's just so we can upset ourselves, really. It's not because we enjoy the game in and of itself. The experience is, it's taxing mentally and emotionally. It's not fun.
We've been having fun.
I don't know, man.
That's a real turnaround.
There's just something about it that really, really tugs at my soul. But the acquiring and mounting magnets was a fun part. I did enjoy that.
Did enjoy the arts and crafts.
Yeah, I enjoyed coming up with a revolutionary way to play the game. The only way, if anything, to play the game. But, Jeff, you then followed up with a second email to us. And the second email reads, during episode 39's discussion of pasta points and prisoners, it got me thinking, do Italian prisoners in Commonwealth custody also use extra water? Similarly, when Andy captured some Italian stores on the final op stage of turn one, do the Commonwealth soldiers need to use extra water when using captured Italian rations? This is almost certainly an extra layer of complication that isn't necessary. However, in the game, I genuinely can't assume anything, even if my cursory search of the rules revealed nothing. Brackets, no, I am not playing. I just downloaded the rules over the course of the podcast out of morbid curiosity. Stay subtle, humble and brave, and hopefully sane, Jeff. From Chicago. Home, apparently, of a street named after an Italian aviator slash propagandist. Well, Jeff, you're not the only one, as you will know if you've listened to last week, because it seems there's quite a few of you folk over in Chicago.
Not just over in Chicago, going on field trips about history.
Is there something about the folks in Chicago? What is the term for people from Chicago? There's got to be a term for Chicagoans?
No.
I feel like in a lot of like American cities, there's quite like distinct and colorful names for people from particular cities.
But
I'm sure I've heard them before. The thing is, I can't think of any right now. So I'm feeling like I do that
all the time. I'm like, oh, there's this thing. It's like, can you give an example? No, my brain's gone blank.
No, I just know the general rule. I don't have examples to give you. Yep. Well, plenty of Chicagoans seem to be off on field trips. You're clearly a very explorative bunch. So we're very happy to receive the pictures. And in terms of the extra rules, what are you doing, Jeff? Why are you mentioning this? If you mention it, the game will create them. I think it's some sort of ongoing magical mutation where every time we think the game can't get worse, it does get more complicated somehow. So I feel like me reading that is a bad omen. It puts out bad spirits into the world and somehow it's going
to
change.
I did have a look. I thankfully don't have to do that.
No, so far from everything, as long as the game doesn't actually change, then no. Thankfully, we don't have to account for that. Because
it seems when the Italians get taken prisoner, the British aren't giving them their pasta.
Yeah, that's quite a funny thing where they go on hunger strike unless they get pasta. Or their cohesion drops even further. And it drops the cohesion of the guards as well because they're just complaining constantly.
Makes escape more likely.
They become feral. You know when sort of mothers get the strength to lift a car off a baby?
Oh, yeah.
In moments of there's a term for that. I'm giving real half-assed information.
Adrenaline rush. No, it's more than that, though.
It's some sort of like strength term.
It's apparently like it's a thing that limits come off your muscles because you can lift significantly more and stuff, but it like damages you, so your brain doesn't let you do it.
It's supposedly the inspiration for the Hulk.
Makes sense.
Was it Kirby? Saw somebody like lift up a part of a car or something off a child, I think it was.
Oh.
And that was the inspiration for the Hulk.
Oh, I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, again, I have no source to cite. Today, I'm just throwing shit out there, and I'm sure it's truthful.
Maybe we need to be more tired when we record.
Yeah, right now I've got all these facts buzzing around, but no way to back them up.
Also, that is a good point. I don't need water for captured stores from you.
Yeah, so
they're
pointless.
Just eating their raw pasta.
Or we're using far too much water for the pasta.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it to be done. But Jeff, we thank you for your tales of your expedition and waxing about the rules. Thankfully, no, but it's completely rational for you to think that the game is that cruel, because in other ways it is. Thankfully not like that, though. Well, a lovely bit of listener mail. A field trip that we like to take is one into the past. And last week, we took a final trip down Balbo Lane, which is in Chicago. And we wrapped up his story. Which means now, Andy, you'll have a completely new history segment.
I do indeed.
And I'm very interested to hear who this is about.
ABC.
Ah, the network.
Yes. Andrew Brown Cunningham.
Oh, okay. So Commonwealth, I would presume.
He's the Admiral of the Mediterranean Fleet during this, so thought I'd tie it in with the bombardments.
Ah, yes, he's caused a bit of havoc for me today along my my airfield.
Indeed, and I bought this guy's autobiography, and I've been reading it for this.
So dedicated to the history course.
Oh, it's been a great excuse to read good stuff I wouldn't have ever thought to.
Yeah, I guess like, it's not your usual area.
I would
area
never
of
have bought an Admiral's autobiography, but it's good. This guy is pretty awesome.
Oh, so he's not a bad guy?
No, well, I've not quite finished the book, but from out of her research, he's not.
There's no heinous beating people with dried fish or...
No.
Okay, that's good. Well, at least it's going to be a slight positive change. We seem to be sort of pendulum swinging between figures of deep moral questionability.
And people whose books I've read.
Yeah.
Yeah, so start with a quote about him. Admiral Sir Andrew Brown Cunningham, he remains, in my opinion, at the top of my subordinates in absolute selflessness, energy, devotion to duty, knowledge of his task, and in understanding the requirements of Allied operations. My opinions as to his superior qualifications have never wavered for a second. That's from General Dwight D. Eisenhower in a diary entry.
I've heard of him.
On the 10th of December, 1942.
Oh, well, held in very high regard then, by the sounds of it.
Yes. Something to mention, it won't be relevant this episode, but he mentions it in the foreword of his book, and I thought it was interesting and something to keep in mind. He wrote this in 1951, or at least that's when it was published. So he was on the ultra list for Enigma.
Oh, okay.
But because Enigma hadn't declassified by the time he wrote his book, he couldn't mention
any involvement with
any Enigma involvement. So it won't be relevant this episode, but that is an interesting thing about accounts from this time.
Okay, yeah, so he had a little secret.
Yeah. So in his own words, we'll describe the start of his life.
Let's hear it.
In the early hours of January 7th, 1883, there was a certain amount of ado at 42 Grosvenor Square, district of Ramphamines, in the Union of South Dublin, in the country of Dublin. I was being brought into this tumultuous world as the first child of Professor and Mrs. Daniel John Cunningham. I had been preceded by a sister and brother and was followed in due course by another brother and sister. My parents thus produced three sons and two daughters, or in poker terms, a full house sons up.
It's a good way to look at a family dynamic.
Yeah.
Through the hands of poker.
So he's from quite an impressive family overall. His grandfather is a Reverend Dr. John Cunningham, educated at Edinburgh and Glasgow University. He created something called the Cunningham Act, allowed any congregation in the Church of Scotland to elect a minister from any other Presbyterian church from Scotland, England, or Ireland. It used to be geographically linked.
Oh, okay.
Which led to the first steps towards them, like, uniting. So pretty important.
Wow, important guy then, yeah.
Yeah. And then his father, Daniel John Cunningham, chair of anatomy for the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, became one of the leading anatomists and anatomy teachers of his day, also responsible for initiating postgraduate medical courses, which have become a standard part of medicine. Like, you keep back and getting updated because medicine keeps changing.
Yeah.
So quite the pedigrees from...
Yeah, so his family's really left an impact in history already at this stage.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a very positive impact as well, which is a nice change for some of the figures we've heard of.
So he's brought up in Dublin, generally happy childhood, big fan of his mother, adored, had a very sweet temperament apparently. His father's out quite a lot but does spend time with him. One of the things, his father's the fellow of the Dublin Zoo, so they spend a lot of time at the zoo.
Sounding pretty wholesome so far.
Yeah. His father, because of his scientific inclination, German was the language of science at the time. So he had a series of German nurses and governesses, and until the age of 9, spoke German as fluently as English.
Oh, so bilingual as
bilingual,
well.
Bilingual.
That will come in handy, I would imagine, in the years to come.
Oh, yeah. So he attends school from the age of 8 in Dublin, but he doesn't learn much. So his father, after two terms, sends him to live with his aunties in Edinburgh to go to a higher quality school. Quote again, "At this point, I gave little thought to my future, but had always been interested in boats and the sea. What put it into my head, I do not know, but it came as a surprise when I had a telegram from my father. Would you like to go into the Navy? The idea appealed to me quite a lot, so egged on by my aunts, I replied, yes, I should like to be an admiral." So he sort of snipes his career from age 8.
Wow, so he's really earmarked his future from go.
Yeah.
Kid knows what he wants.
So he's in Edinburgh for a bit. Edinburgh Academy, where he's studying, is at this time starting a course to prepare children for joining the Navy. But it's just starting. So his father sends him at the age of 10 to Farnham, just outside London, for Mr. Foster Stubbington's house, which is a school specially designed to prepare children to join the Navy.
I mean, the name of it sounds like it's a much more whimsical school.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whimsical name.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fun name is what that is.
So this is how he describes the school in his own word. One supposes that the teaching given at Stubbington was really cramming. We were required to perform prodigious feats of memory, such as memorizing the dates of all important events from the landing of Julius Caesar to the ascension of James I.
That's a lot of A lot of stuff happens between those.
Oh, yeah. I can still remember much of what I learned there. The old masters were wizards at driving knowledge into the heads of the unintelligent.
See, I told you it was a place of whimsy. There's wizards there.
Oh, yeah. And it's also crazy to hear this guy describe himself as unintelligent. but at one point, he remembers something the history master said to him, which is a brutal thing to say to someone who's 11 or 12. What an extraordinary thing for so clever a father should have such an idiot for a son.
That sounds almost Shakespearean in its cadence.
Yeah, just a teacher destroying
you, probably your self-esteem, your confidence.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thankfully it didn't shake him from his career path by the sound of it.
Oh, no. He likes maths. He's very good at it, but he hates languages. He characterizes himself as lazy and says he never has to work hard.
That probably means you're intelligent then.
Yes, very. So at the ripe old age of 14, he's done with school. So he joins the Navy.
Yep, there we go.
He enlists on HMS Britannia on January 15th, 1987, 8 days after his birthday. The HMS Britannia is a ship that's off the coast of Dartmouth that is the Navy cadet officer training. So most admirals or officers from the Navy will go through it at some point.
Okay.
It's like the next stage of education for what he's going to be doing.
It's his placement, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good description, actually. He's in a group of 65 children split into four classes, and they spend 15 minutes training together and getting educated. Quote about their training, the instruction was mainly technical. Mathematics as applies to navigation, some rather indifferently taught French, a little naval history at the hands of Hamilton Williams, otherwise known as Badger Bill.
What is going on with these names? Come on, Badger Bill.
And of course, steam signals and seamanship in all its branches. Seamanship was by far the most popular, and in 1897... sail is still being used in the Navy. It's not entirely given way to like steam and metal ships.
Okay,
so
right.
So he's getting a bit of both.
Ah, he's got the old school going on.
Oh, yeah. He describes it, the work was not really hard, and I was able to devote the evenings to acquiring a certain proficiency at chess, which, based on how humble he is for the outward book, he's probably a grandmaster. I haven't looked it up, but there's also, he gets some letters later on in this bit. One of them, quote, these serve to remind me that I went by the name Meatface as a cadet, and that I acquired some reputation as an amateur pugilist. As one of my term mates wrote, I well remembered he loved a scrap.
A real Renaissance man. This guy does a lot. He wears a lot of hats.
Oh, yeah. And he talks about, he remembers they used to, when they got a bit of shore leave, they used to go and spend the Sunday afternoon fighting in a little local quarry with bare fists. One of his Homeric fights, as he describes it, was with Charles Clement Swift. It ended up with us both covered in blood, my blood. Why we came to fisticuffs with most of the term cheering us on, I certainly can't remember. I don't think I was a particularly quarrelsome boy.
He's so polite. Yeah. He's very well-spoken. And you know what he is? He's very subtle and humble.
Oh, yeah. I thought that as a reading. He lives up to the wolf and mate ideals.
Yeah, I mean, brave as well, I would imagine. Oh, probably part of it. So the guy's really ticking off every box.
So at this point, because he sails through this bit fairly quickly, because he says, anyone who's read anything about this will have like heard about their time on the HMS Britannia, because everyone went through it, as it were.
Yeah.
So like every autobiography will have a bit on it. So here's a list of the stuff they study at the age of, he's 15 at this point. Religious knowledge, algebra, geometry, plane trigonometry, practical and theoretical, and its applications. They're examined, and its exact application to useful problems in navigation, surveying, spherical trigonometry, astronomical problems, navigation, determining a ship's position by dead reckoning or observation, geometrical and nautical problems, the construction of charts, the use of sextants, compass, barometers, thermometers, and the principles of construction, physical science, French, drawing, naval history, geography, and astronomy. So they're learning a huge amount.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to keep with that Renaissance man. That comment is correct. This man is learning it all.
Yeah. So he finishes 10th in his class, where, despite not working hard...
Yeah, the guy's laying about playing chess and fighting people in quarries.
He's described as having good proficiency in the use of a sextant and an artificial horizon, having paid much attention to various branches of study. He's entitled to a first-class certificate in mathematics, scoring 1,171 out of 1,500.
Wow.
A second class in French, getting 510 out of 750. First class in seamanship, 616 out of 700.
Well, wow, so that's a good one.
Yeah. It seems like the things that brought him down were like the extra stuff, like French, which...
Probably
not
going to
be that useful. He's described as he can. Apparently, it's of note that he can swim.
That's a very handy thing to know when you're going to be on boats for the most part.
And his conduct aboard the Britannia is described as very good. So, because of this, he's technically served 7 months of sea time, as it were, on the Britannia, which means he'll have 1 month as a cadet when he joins the ship, and then he'll go to midshipman. Which is like the next rank up.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
He says, I wonder to what extent my examiners perjured themselves and to who testified to my very good conduct. Those that mattered can never have heard about my occasional bare-fisted battles ashore on Sunday afternoon. So yeah, he's a 10th in his class. And before finishing, they ask him, where do you want to go? It's not like, where do you want to serve? And it's not guaranteed, but... you have a bit of,
sort of preference.
Choice of preference. He doesn't really have a preference, but his best friend, Henry Archer Colt, wants to go to the Cape of Good Hope in West Africa, so he elects to go there as well. And he gets it, comes back, and he gets accepted for that ship. So both of them are going to head off. But just before they do, just the last quote... My father and mother came over from Ireland to see me off. We spent one night in London, and as a parting treat, my father took us to see a new play just put on, The Belle of New York. My parents were both rather scandalized at the dress, or rather undress, of some of the ladies, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, is he a randy guy as well, then?
Doesn't seem to actually be, but I guess teenager. So he embarks on the... ship that's going to take him to West Africa to join his other ship, and he's delighted to find his friend Henry aboard and on the same cabin, and they're heading off to serve in the Navy in Africa. Don't know if you know the time period, but this is just before the Boer War.
Oh, I see.
Which we'll get into next time.
Oh, I'm interested to see his involvement in that, because that is an interesting conflict.
Yeah.
That is something I have actually studied before in college.
Yeah.
So... That's a segment of history I do know a bit about, so I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, he at this point I believe is 16.
Wow. Okay. So still a wee boy.
Oh yeah.
Well, he's got his head screwed on. He knows what he's doing. He's smart. He's accomplished. He's subtle, humble, and brave.
Oh yeah.
So he's got all the makings of a real mater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I used to be called Meatface. Like, forgot that.
How? I wonder if that comes from some of the pugilism, maybe?
Oh, it is. It's related to that.
Oh, okay,
the thing of forgetting that people called you that.
If someone called me Meatface, I think that would
stick with me.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to let that one slip. Well, good old Meatface. Interested to see what he gets up to, because he's an objectively better man than Balbo.
Oh, yeah.
So,
he takes part in a lot of very interesting stuff, which we'll get to, but yeah, and a good book if anyone's more interested. I had a lot of trouble cutting stuff down for the quick, because I was read the first chapter, was highlighting, oh, that would be an interesting bit. And then I looked back and I just highlighted like 90% of the first chapter. But this is a couple chapters in, and we'll pick it up with the rest of them.
Yeah, well, I look forward to it. On our side, we need to figure out something else. We need to trim through all of these brilliant ideas. We need to ignore most of the highlighted sections and just pick one particular thing to focus on in order to find some common ground.
And now for something nicer. A little oasis in the war. It's time for some common ground. I'm trying the intro for common ground. I'm recording. Maybe.
Yeah.
And this time it's over to you, Andy.
Yes.
It's your time to provide us with some common ground.
I've got one.
Let's hear it.
Sort of off the stuff I've been researching the last few weeks, but not close enough to mention on the podcast. I think we should bring back Zeppelins and blimps.
Oh. You know what? This is coming from the same person who plugged an extension cable into an extension cable.
Yes.
And then brought them into his bathroom. So I'm going to have to err on the side of caution with this one. They're dangerous.
Only if you fill them. There's the hydrogen and helium. One of them's dangerous. You should use the other one.
Okay. And which one are we using?
The safe one.
Okay.
I'm going to leave that to the eggheads to work out.
You're the ideas man, yeah. Not the details man.
Because they correctly got a bad rap after the Hindenburg disaster.
Yeah, that's notoriously a bad blimp.
Yeah. I'm not wanting to bring them back for, like, air travel in the sense of, like, replacing planes.
Well, that's good, because that would be moronic.
I think they're a fun addition to society along the lines of cruise ships, because they're slower. I wouldn't go on a cruise ship. I'd love to go on a Zeppelin tour.
You wouldn't go on a cruise ship?
I don't know. I might, but I watched that documentary about the cruise ship that filled with shit, and it kind of put me off.
That's fair. I wouldn't want to be on a cruise ship full of shit, but I would try a cruise ship. I would be less likely to try a Zeppelin or blimp.
See, that's, we're opposites there, but a couple of things going for them.
All right, I'm going to need to hear these, and they're going to have to be good.
They always look cool in, like, steampunk art. They add to a cityscape. Like,
I agree, but I need to make it very clear. I don't want to live in a steampunk world.
We don't have to go full steampunk. We could. It's the modern version. Material sciences have come a long way.
I need you to know that you just did a very Trump-esque hand gesture there as you were trying to justify what you're talking about. Sort of, like, palms outward, sort of arms in like a T-Rex.
So you're not on board with this?
I mean, at the moment, no. I think they're dangerous. Would you get in a hot air balloon?
Yeah, I'd do a hot air balloon.
What the fuck, man? So you wouldn't get on a cruise ship because you're worried it's going to fill with shit, but you got a hot air balloon.
This is going to sound like a dumb sentence. I'm more scared of the ocean than the sky.
Oh, at least you're self-aware.
I'm not that scared of heights. I don't like water.
You're not scared. But the heights, you're in like a very flammable, I guess, yeah, you said the safe one, but I don't know, it feels like it's still, and this is coming from a man, I'll admit, I don't know everything about Zeppelins, but I feel like they can burst, surely. What are they made of?
Well, it depends on the material. Like, we've got modern materials. We could build out, like, carbon nanotubes or whatever they put on the space shuttle.
This sounds expensive as well.
I mean, they're, like, cruisers are luxury. Cruise ships cost, like, hundreds of millions, I think.
Yeah, but I feel like they're safer. You don't get many cruise ships going down.
What about that guy that crashed the one in Italy?
I don't know. I can't speak to that.
Or the one that filled with shit. Cruisers aren't that safe.
You've got to leave the one that's full of shit. I think that was safe. It was just unpleasant.
Yeah. But you can just, if the toilets go out on your Zeppelin, you can just land it.
You could, I mean, I guess so, but you could just pop overboard.
into the dangerous ocean.
I was talking about on the Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
You can just pop out a window, you know, squat out the window.
Cruise ship, you pull into port.
Yeah.
Zeppelin, arrive at a city. You skydive into the city while it's landing.
Right, you're just listing
that's
stuff I
exciting,
don't want to do.
Exciting.
Don't ever try.
It's more exciting than a cruise ship. I'm doing the trumpets. I think this is a bad idea. I'm starting to think that because the hand gestures that it's making me do.
Right, so you now want me to skydive into a city?
You don't have to. You could take the slow way down.
What's the slow way?
The Zeppelin just lands. I think it's weird we had a method of transportation and we just gave up on it completely.
But yeah, but why? Because we found a better...
Because one of them crashed.
We found a better way to do it.
For planes have their advantages.
Yes.
For long distances.
Yes.
You not want to do a Zeppelin tour of Europe?
That sounds slow as fuck.
It's a tour. I'm not saying we should add them back for transportation convenience. It's a luxury that I think we need.
So you're not replacing air travel in general, so it's optional.
Yeah, it's like how it's the same way like boats are now, where it's like if I want to get to America, I'm not taking a ship.
Okay. Right. Well, it's going to be expensive, so I guess for this luxury commodity, what are we going to be? What are we trading off? Where are we getting the money from this? What are we getting rid of in order to do this?
Oh, I'm not saying this is a government scheme. It's a private, like.
So your dragon's denning it.
I guess, yeah. Okay. I just think there's a hole in the market.
And my concern is there's going to be a hole in the Zeppelin, Andy.
I mean, but planes crash fairly regularly.
Not fairly regularly.
I mean, yeah, they're the safest form of transport.
Sorry, say that again into the microphone.
Planes are the safest form of transport.
Yeah, there we go. I'm going to put the little quote sound effect on that one as well.
Except for maybe Zeppelins.
What are you talking about?
There's only been one big Zeppelin crash. It was just so bad we stopped doing it entirely. The Hindenburg disaster is to Zeppelin travel what Chernobyl is to nuclear power. But they're both good things. They just had a bad PR moment.
A bad PR moment. Okay, right. I mean, nuclear power, I'm all for, and I think maybe it did get a bad rap from Chernobyl.
Okay, nuclear-powered Zeppelin.
Right, we're doing something really bad here. This is not the direction to go in. You're getting me further away from the point.
Okay.
Don't just hear that I like something and then try and put it in the Zeppelin.
Okay.
That doesn't make it work better for me.
Okay. But what do I need to convince you of to get you in a Zeppelin? Or at least let me get in one?
You can get in a Zeppelin.
Okay.
And if this is going to be privately funded...
Okay.
And it's not going to replace planes.
No, no.
And it's just a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Safe fun. Then I'm willing to allow this.
Also, they will work in Europe because they're a bit wind dependent.
Well, yes.
But tether it to a train.
No.
Have the train pull it.
Andy, take yes for an answer. This is worse.
So you're not... Okay.
I said, if it's not replacing planes and it's privately funded and I don't have to get on one, then I'm fine with there being Zeppelins all over Europe.
Okay. That's good.
I just don't want them crowding the skyline too much.
You don't?
Sorry, you're shocked at this.
I think you need
to get out this steampunk mentality.
I'd like to just be walking around and be like, oh, cool, a Zeppelin.
Sorry, you think they're the sight. You don't want to use them to see the sights. You want them to be the
Well,
sights.
I'd like to take them, but they're also just there, sort of spicing up the view.
Okay. I guess this doesn't need to be about me understanding why you want it and what you find pleasure in with the Zeppelins. You've at least justified why it's safe for them to be around.
Okay.
Whatever odd pleasures you find in looking at Zeppelins, I guess, is your thing to unpack.
Okay.
So I guess that's something for you to do in your own time.
Okay, so when Zeppelins come back, I won't be getting you a ticket.
Don't get me a ticket to a Zeppelin or skydiving. And don't plug in your extension cable to another extension cable and take it into your bathroom.
Well, I wouldn't do that on a blimp.
Well,
would you go skydiving?
No, I wouldn't. What, would you... what is this?
I don't know.
Of course I wouldn't go skydiving.
I think I can get you up there.
You can't. You can't get... No,
there's
you can't.
Nothing that can be done to get you to jump out of a plane.
No, there's not. I say that with great confidence that you could never get me to do that.
I think, therefore, you shouldn't be allowed to use paratroops in the game.
What the fuck is that? No, absolutely not. That's not how that works.
You shouldn't be asking your men to do anything you wouldn't do.
We're gonna. That's it. That's the end of the episode. It's done now.
I feel like this hasn't been common ground.
It's been uneven ground. It's been shaky ground. It's thin ice, is what this segment is.
All dangers that are avoided by being in a Zeppelin.
No, it's not. Oh, you keep your Zeppelin talk to yourself. We've got to mention.
Yeah, transition out of this.
Yeah, just before we wrap up in frustration. If you do want to send us a message, we read out emails.
So send them in to info@warwithamate.co.uk.
We have an Instagram, which is War with a Mate. We update it each week with a post for each episode, put some pictures on. It's very lovely. And we have a website, which is warwithamate.co.uk. There's a web form on there.
Yeah. We've replaced the chat with a web form. So
we fixed that. Yep, that's fixed.
Yep. We also dropped about 50 images on there.
Yeah,
if you're interested in seeing some of the pictures of the board,
yep.
They're not particularly structured at the minute, but they're there.
Yeah.
So if you want to have a look.
Peek at what the game looks like, by all means, check that out. When we play in the full game, when we finish the 6-turn practice run, we'll be updating it with... a very structured update of what the map looks like every single play session. If we start doing that now, it's too late in, I think, for things to be tracked well, and we're still figuring out the logistics of how to update that in the right way. One thing we do still have going at the moment is the temporary merch store, which has all sorts of fun things. We got some mugs, some caps, some jumpers. After high demand for us to put it out, it's still on there. We're going to have it until...
You've been taking messages off Instagram for if someone wants something.
Yes.
We'll add it, so we'll...
We have a very wide variety of things at our disposal to produce. So if there's anything that you are interested in, a particular piece of clothing or accessory or mouse mat or anything you can think of, we can probably put it together for you. So drop us a message if there's anything in particular. And it'll be up till about the end of September. And then we're going to find a more long-term solution, because the shipping on that at the moment is kind of an issue. We've brought the cost down as much as we can for the actual items, but the shipping we can't actually do anything about, and
we do have a solution.
Well, we have a workaround for
it. Time to set up.
Yes, so we will be fixing that when we roll it out permanently. And thank you to everyone who has bought stuff. It's insane that people are buying War with a Mate stuff.
Genuinely bizarre in like an awesome way.
Yeah, so thank you for that, everyone who's done that. That's much appreciated. And that, I think, pretty much wraps everything up into a neat bow.
So thanks for listening. Stay subtle, humble, and brave.
Just like Gold Cunningham.
Yes.
Subtle, humble, and brave. And just when you're in the deserts of your mind, watch out for those Zeppelins, because they are dangerous. Fare thee well, and good night.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy.
Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,